came the planets, balls of fire and all this. And it excites me beyond explanation when I think what this is. My anchor is the God that spoke this and that gave us his word. So when we read scripture and when we go to the word of God, ladies, this God is our anchor. This is our anchor. There's only one way to live. And this is according to the word of God. So when there's something in the word of God that you don't quite understand, that you have to stretch your faith and stretch your faith, then stretch. Because God is so much bigger than what we can imagine. So let's just take him at his word, can we? Can we just read his word and just take God at his word and just be grateful for the word of God? Take him at his word. Live out his word. Hide his word in our heart. Just do life by the word of God. So when we read the word of God and we say, God said, let's just ask the Lord to help us to just stretch. You know, it's like we can never quite get there because we're tied to the earth. But I pray that every time after seeing this, that we read the word of God, or we say, God says he will stretch us a little bit more. And a little bit more, he will meet you right where you're at. Right where you're at today is where God is going to meet you. And he wants to stretch you. How many of you have felt that? You feel you're stretching in that relationship with patience. And then just when you think you got a grip on it, something happens and you have to stretch again. With the finances, you think, okay, now this is good. God answered prayer, and just you turn around and it's time to stretch again. Stretch again. Can this answer just that question for us for the rest of our lives? Why is it that we always have to stretch? Because God is so big, that's why. And he allows this thing to happen that we can stretch and we can stretch and grow and grow and grow in him. Only one way to please God. And that is through faith. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word, God. We're in awe. We're just in awe. We don't even understand our own bodies, Lord. But we want to respond on your invitation to us this day. That you, God, of the universe, came and ransomed us on this speck of dust. God, you crawled into the body of a man to identify with us, to give us something we can understand. God on earth, God the man. So, thank you for being mindful of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for giving us your word, God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for these Bibles that we can carry around freely in this country. Thank you that we can read freely, we can declare freely, Lord, and just give us a fresh touch of the magnitude of your word. So when we read, you said, we will shake. So we bless your holy name and thank you for your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are getting ready this morning to take communion. And I just want to set us up a little bit. I asked the Lord, God is just so big, it's just hard for a human being to get your head wrapped around it. But Pastor Tracy said something this morning when she was leading worship, and it just resounded, it just echoed in my heart. She said, God is saying, be with me. She said, God said, just be with me. Now this God that we just learned about, he's telling us this morning, be with me, be with me. And when he came to earth, something extremely significant happened. Most of you have had communion in your life. Most of you know. You know, it's in remembrance of the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very amazing to do this and stop this time of year to watch this and consider when the Jewish calendar was Tuesday, was Passover. What is Passover? That is when the Lord's Supper was instituted. But it is a huge turning point in the plan of God. Okay? So I just want to take you briefly back to the scripture in Exodus when the Passover was instituted. We know the teachings of this year so far about Christ and Pastor Deborah's teachings about Adam and Eve, and they were covered, and the blood starting already there, and the fact that there's a blood trail. There's an absolute trail of blood starting in Genesis, trailing through every book all the way to the cross and beyond. So let's just look at this in Exodus 12. I'm just going to read a bunch of scripture to you. I want you to follow in your book. We don't have the overage. Just follow in your Bible. Just treasure your word. Chapter 12 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses." Can we just, we could just stop there for the rest of the day. The Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses. And Aaron in the land of Egypt. They were in the land of Egypt because the Lord's people were in bondage. And this is where we pick up the story about Moses leading the people out of slavery. We've learned earlier this year how they got to slavery. Moses leading them out of slavery. And the plagues that came for Pharaoh to let God's people go. And God said in verse 3, "Speak to all the generation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of the father, a lamb for a household. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Verse 7, and they shall take some of the blood." Now this lamb is to be killed. "They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat." And then he gives instructions about the meat. Verse 11 at the end. "So you shall eat it in haste." And then it says, "It is the Lord's Passover." So this is where we see the Passover instituted. "For I," says God, "for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn." He says in another place, he sends the destroyer. He sets the destroyer free to strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. He says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by everlasting ordinance." Switch to verse 22. He says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop," a lot of meaning in that, "dip it in the blood in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house till morning. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians, and when he sees blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and for your sons forever to remember." Now this is the slavery they found themselves in Egypt is significant of the slavery we're in before Jesus Christ without the Lord. And the blood of Jesus in this case is, I told you, it's a shadow, it's a type, is the blood of Jesus. But this is only in shadow form. See the blood over the doorpost? You're safe on that side, on this side you get destroyed. "It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you," what he promised. He said, "You shall keep this service, and it shall be then you should say to your children," what this means, you should teach your children, 27, "that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when the Egyptians were struck." And then it talks about, you can go read it home, and he says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt from the firstborn." You talk about blood? That was a lot of blood. A Pharaoh, that is what we all deserve, is this blood. But only when you had the blood of the lamb, you did not die. So Pharaoh rose that night with all his servants, and he called Moses and he says, "Rise, go out," and he set them free. And you can go read further. There is so much in there. But that was where Passover comes from. This is what we're celebrating at Easter, because Passover was kept through the ages. Okay, we learned about how Moses instituted, God instituted the law, and then there were the judges, and then there were the kings, and then there were the prophets all through the Old Testament, and then they kept, once a year they kept. The Jewish nation still keeps that. So when Jesus was born as a Jew, right, what did he do? He was in a Jewish family, he celebrated the Passover. He celebrated the Passover, and I wonder how old Jesus was when he realized what was going on. You just wonder, because he was God, you know? I wonder when it was that he knew. Was he a baby, like a real baby, and had to learn things? I don't know those things. But it just, at some point, and I would say at every year that they have celebrated the Passover, Jesus knew that the Passover that they celebrated with, now the Jews celebrated, you know, there was bread involved, and there's a whole story about the bread when they fled Egypt, but it was celebrated with wine and certain symbols. And we see all the way when it gets to the New Testament how Jesus was still celebrating that. But then there came the last time on earth that Jesus celebrated the Passover. Okay, so he grew up. He's now 25 years old, 28 years old, 30 years old. And when he was 33 years old, that was his last and final Passover, because that is when everything changed. The law was getting ready to be fulfilled. I want to just take you, please allow me, to John 6, verse 66. To me, it is the three sixes. I remember it that way. It's one of the saddest scriptures in the book, in the Bible. One of the saddest scriptures. John 6, verse 66. We're going to go there and then just look at something in John 6. He says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Okay? So he had his disciples, and then there came a time. The Bible records it. From this time, a lot of his disciples turned back. What in the world happened before verse 66? Let's go see what happened before 66. We see John 6, verse 4. "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, were near." See that? Here they go to the Passover feast. It was near. So Jesus knew this was the last Passover that he was going to have with the disciples, because on the night that he was betrayed, he had the Last Supper. That is why now the Passover, we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, because it was the Last Supper of Jesus, of the Passover on earth. So it says there, and Jesus in verse 5, when I read this, and Jesus said, he looked at all the people and he said, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" I don't think he was talking about real bread. He must have been talking more than, he was trying now to communicate to the disciples what's going to happen. That's something they could never understand. That would repulse some of them so much that they would leave him. So let's see what that is. A lot of things. Let's go to verse 32. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father,'" he talks about the manna, okay? He says, "My Father gives you true bread from heaven." He now starts talking about the bread, and he starts talking about himself. Then verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life. Who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me never thirst." So he's talking to them about what the bread really represented. The bread even in the Passover, the unleavened bread. Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sends me." And then he says in verse 40, "That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." And then in verse 41, he says, "I am the bread which come down from heaven." Then he goes on, and verse 48, he says, "I am the bread of life." He says, talks about the manna, the next verse. And then he says in verse 51, Verse 50 says, this is the bread which comes from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Now, this is where it starts getting a little crazy for the disciples. Eat of this bread. He's telling us he's the bread, and now we have to eat him. He says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And the Jews quarreled amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son and drink the blood, his blood, you will have no life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. For my flesh is food and my blood is drink. He's now leading up to his last meal, remember? And he says, as the Father is in me and I live, let's not go to that verse. I'm sorry. I just want to stop there where he says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And Jesus says in verse 61, does this offend any one of you? And then verse 66 says, many of them from this moment on did not follow him anymore. He was trying to prepare them for the Last Supper, that he's going to break the bread and say, take, eat, this is my body. He's going to give the wine and he's going to say, take, drink, this is my blood. But the whole thing with blood and eating flesh and blood just totally, totally, you know, took them out. Why do we have to eat and drink this? Verse 35 says, so that you may have life. And verse 56 says, so that I can be in you and you in me. Now, this God that we just read about wants to be in us and us in him. He wants a oneness back and a relationship. So let's just go to Luke 22. Just page back quickly to Luke chapter 22. Now, I'm showing you this so that you can go home and you can go read these again, okay? It says in Luke 20, chapter 22, verse 1, now the feast of the unleavened bread draw near, which is called the Passover. Okay, so the Passover. And verse 7 says, then came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. You know where I'm going with this. Jesus is having the last meal, the Last Supper, celebrating this, and he is to die that same night. He is going to become that lamb. He's going to become that bread to die so we can eat it. Then in verse 15, he says, with fervent desire, one of my very favorite scriptures in the Bible, verse 15 says, then Jesus said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Why? Because he can finally reveal himself. That was the great reveal at that supper where Jesus said, guys, this is me. Let me reveal this to you. And he said he could not wait to have it. And he said in verse 18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. That was referring to the Last Supper. The last time Jesus is doing this supper on earth. And then he says, the next one he will do until the kingdom of God comes. And in another place he says, till we get to heaven, there will be a feast, of course. And the story will continue. Verse 19 says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then verse 20, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This is an absolutely, absolutely pivotal moment. Are you getting the magnitude of this? A pivotal moment where Jesus sits with his disciples and says, this is me. Eat my body and drink of my blood. Now, I told you everything on earth, things cannot be real. It's symbolic. It's not like it's the very blood of Jesus. But it's symbolic of the blood and the wine that we celebrate with at Easter. Why drink? And I'm done. Why the emphasis on, why can't we just sit around and look at things? Why can't we just say we're going to do this feast and look at pictures of slaying animals and things? Why do I have to sit around a table in the Passover and actually put that bread in my mouth and chew it and it becomes part of me? Why do I have to put that wine in my body? Why? What is the symbolism of actually digesting this that we still follow today? That we sit together like this and say, this is in remembrance. We can remember just looking at it. Why are we eating it? And this is what I believe, part of what God wants to tell us today. If you look at the whole picture, look at what we thought, what we just saw. God says, I don't want to just be near you. I don't want you just to know about me. I don't want to just be close to you. God says, nothing else will do but me in you and you in me. It's a symbolism of the perfect union and restoration back to God. That Jesus went to the cross. And the message is, now that the lamb was slain, the last lamb was slain, the perfect lamb, the unleavened bread, no sin, is now available for you and I, not to go through a priest and a prophet and a judge and the law anymore. But it's available to us. And as we do communion this morning, the message is, be with me. Be in me. Do you see that's where the disciples fell out of the bus, is when Jesus said, eat me and drink me. Those who did not discern did not do it. They walked away. And you know what? We do the same thing still today. Many of us walk away. We say, I like to know about Jesus. I like to come to church. I like all this, what this makes me feel good. I like the promises of God. But are you willing to digest it? Are you willing to eat the flesh and drink the blood as a sign of this is how committed I am? This is how committed I am. I will eat the flesh. I will drink the blood, total identification, total giving up my own identity, totally becoming a new creation in Christ with the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ now living inside of me. Total oneness is available for us on earth today. And that is what we are going to celebrate. And may this Easter, it just stay with us. And I want to apologize. It took me a bit of time, but these scriptures were just so heavy on my heart. I want you to go home and go read Exodus. Go read Leviticus 17 where it says the life is in the blood. Go study this out for yourself and sell out for God totally. Totally and completely. And we're going to get ready to take communion. I'm going to ask Pastor Jessica to come up and do the bread and the examining. She's just going to first make sure that you all are ready to do this, because we have to be ready to receive according to 1 Corinthians. So just open your Bibles at 1 Corinthians 11. We have the scripture up there for you too as we get ready to partake.
Alrighty. Well, before we even take communion, I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 11:27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this blood, of this cup of the Lord, is in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of this cup. For if he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, and eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. What we're going to do right now is, we don't want to go into communion unless you are for sure right with the Lord. You say, well, I don't know. I don't want to put judgment on myself, Pastor Jess, like the word says. Well, then we're going to give you an opportunity to get right with the Lord right now, okay, and just cleanse all sin from your life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you, have you ever been saved? You say, what is saved? It means that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You go, oh, I've never done that, Pastor Jess. I've never done that. Then I'm talking to you right now. Maybe you've, at one time in your life, you've walked with God and you've been on that journey with him, and then you walked away from the Lord like the disciples did, as she talked about. And you say, oh, but I need to come back to the King. Today's your day. You need to make sure. You say, I'm not sure, Pastor. I don't know. I've never, you know, I just don't know. I grew up in a Christian home, and, you know, we would go to church on Easter and Christmas, and this is just kind of something we did. Well, listen, if you don't know, you need to make sure today. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. If you were to walk out of this room and you were to die, would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? And that is a question I want you to examine your heart. Have you been living for yourself and not for God? Examine your heart right now. Have you been in unforgiveness? And have you been doing things that you need to let go and ask God for forgiveness? Right now is going to be your time. So you say, okay, well then how do I get right before God before I take communion? How do I know this Jesus that I've never known before I take communion? What we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer and you're going to repeat it after me. And you're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And when you do that, you will be cleansed, you will be washed, you will become one with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what a beautiful symbol that you get to do communion right afterwards. But this is what we're going to do. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be a Lord and Savior of your life, you're going to raise your hand. If you have, you're making sure, you're not sure, you know, want to make sure, you're going to raise your hand right now. And if you have never done this before, you're the person. If you've been lukewarm, a little in, a little out, a little up, a little down, I am talking to you. You cannot maybe your way into heaven. You need to get right. God says that lukewarm will be vomited from his mouth. You're either hot or cold. So if you're lukewarm, you need to get right with God. You need to raise your hand. So on the count of three, we're going to go one, two, three, and you're going to raise your hand. You say, oh, that's embarrassing. Listen, I don't care if it's embarrassing. We've all done it. We love you. There's no reason to be embarrassed in here. If you were in hell, you'd be raising your underwear on a flagpole trying to get yourself out of there. This is your time right now. This is life and death right now in front of you. You will be accountable for this moment before the Lord one day. So make sure today. If you've never done it, I'm talking to you. If you're making sure, then make sure, raise your hand. If you are lukewarm, you get right with the Lord. On the count of three, one, two, three, raise your hand if you need God. If you need to ask him, one, two. Anybody else? Keep your hands up so we can see them. I'm going to sweep through because we're going to take communion and we want to get you right before you take communion. Anybody else? Three. Got you. Four. Anyone else? All right, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to all pray together, okay? Those of you that raise your hand, it's not about just praying, but it's about your heart, okay? So God is listening to your heart. And when you pray this prayer, you're asking him to come into your heart. So just repeat after us, and the whole room is going to pray with you, all right? Dear Father God, I come before you today, broken and a sinner. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life, that you would walk with me and I walk with you, that we become one, that you become my King and I'm your daughter. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from my sin. Today's the day that I am saved, that I'm going to heaven, and I'm leaving hell behind. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll start out, and then I'll have Pastor Deborah come on up, and we're just going to do this. There's communion baskets in the middle of your table. As you can see, there's bread. Is there the cup, too? Okay, great. So, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, and it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body. It is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You have a little piece of bread here and you have a wafer. We're going to do a couple things. We're going to allow you guys to be able to take communion with each other afterwards with the bread. But if you have your cups, is there enough cups for every person at the table? Okay. No cups. If you don't have cups, ushers, they're under the bread. Nope. This table's missing it. Come on, it's communion. We have to get them. Under the napkin? You got it? You good? No? No. There's nothing under the napkin. Over here, we need communion cups. Okay. So he said, take, eat, for this is my body. It was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I love this because I never forget when we watch the Passion and how his body was stripped and broken and how it brings me to such a place of, why me, God? Why me? And I looked at that. I don't know about you guys, but I watched the stars and then the earth, the little golf ball, and I thought, wow. And then when he went through all of the planets, did you guys see that? And the earth was like the fourth biggest, and then there was like a million others, right? And it just kept going by. And I felt like the Lord spoke, and he said, I was broken because you were my jewel in the midst of so many other things. That means I felt like God was showing me all these other planets and all these other galaxies and all these other stars and all these other things. But yet I look at the earth and I put you on that earth. And I knew exactly where you were on that golf ball. And you may not be able to see you, but I see you. And so I went to that cross and I allowed my body to be broken just for you because I knew the pain of what it was that you were going to go through. And I sacrificed it, and I was ripped open, and I was torn open for you because I love you. And he loves us, and he was on that cross, and he was broken, so broken for us. So you say, well, Pastor, I'm broken today. I'm very broken. That little girl in the youth room last night, that was me. That is me, Pastor Jess. Listen, everyone in here has their story, and everyone in here has had their battles. And he knows you. And he's with you, and he loves you, and that's why he went to the cross, and he became broken so that your brokenness can be mended. He became broken so that your heart can begin to be sewn back up with his word and with his love. He became broken so you don't have to be broken anymore. So let's do this. I love how Pastor Dan does it. He breaks it between his fingers as a symbol. And he says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Dear Father God, we just love you. Thank you for going to the cross for us, who seem like little dots on a little world of such a humongous span of time. But Lord, you knew us when we were in our mother's womb. You knitted us together and formed us, and you became broken so we don't have to be. And Lord, we honor you today, and we remember today what you gave, the sacrifice that you had given. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and eat.
Can you open this for me? In the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. And we've heard a lot today and we've seen a lot today. Just get there. That's okay. I can't see anyway. I got it, Jess. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. As often as you drink this bread or eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we take communion this morning and as we take the cup, Eleanor explained a little bit about the blood. And from the beginning of Genesis through Revelation, this book has a red trail in it. The scarlet thread. The blood of God. What amazed me about that video that we saw this morning was the enormity and the size of the planets and the suns that God has breathed out of his mouth. He's big beyond anything I can imagine. He's big beyond my imagination. He's big beyond my life. And then when Louis held up that little golf ball, and that was planet Earth, and we just got so lost. I got so lost in the bigness of God. Did anybody feel that way today? What's amazing to me is what what that proves to us. Romans chapter 5, it says, for hope maketh not ashamed, for the love, the agape, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, when you were sinners, when you were yet sinners, and you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates, reveals, shows his love towards us. He shows it. For when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. On that golf ball, in that last place that we saw that Louis showed us, and we became so incredibly infinitesimally small that we couldn't even put a speck on the map. The love of God shows unimaginably big, that in that vastness of his own creation, he knows who we are, and he loved us so much that he wouldn't live without us. That's his love. We're small, but his love is so great. I think that's why Paul said that you would know together what is the length and the breadth and the depth, and to know the love of God that passes understanding. Because when you finally, the penny drops and you finally get it, and you start to get it, that you are loved beyond measure and beyond imagination. That the value that God placed on you was his own life. Because in this dusty bowl of earth, everything in the world wants to diminish and wants to take away and to steal. But this Easter, God says, look at, see how big my love is for you. I stretched out my hands and I died for you. The one that breathed out the universe, identified with us, and then died for us. To show us, to demonstrate how much he loves us. I don't know about you, but if there's one thing I need more than air, more than breath, more than anything, more than food. I need to be loved. I was made to be loved. You were made to be loved. And in a broken planet with broken humanity, no one can love you like you need to be loved. No one but Jesus. And he showed how much he loves you by doing what he did. We just saw how big he was. Now look and see in that vastness of his creation how big his love is. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. The blood justifies. The blood cleanses. The blood guards. It protects. It nourishes. The blood makes us right with him. That's how big his blood is. That's how big his love is. That's how big it is. Father, thank you for loving us beyond measure. Inconceivably, I cannot even imagine how high of a price that you've paid for us. I don't understand why you would, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone and lost. But you came. You got us. And you paid what you had to pay for us so that we could belong to you. And now you belong to us. So Lord Jesus, for the rest of our days, teach us to love like you love. Teach us to see the people that you've brought into our world. See them like you see them, valuable, immeasurably loved, inconceivably loved. And help us to live out our days loving your world to life like you loved us. That we may know the love of God that passes understanding by experience. May we know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of this amazing love, that nothing can separate us from it. Not life, not death, not peril, not sword, not famine, not disease. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we remember the Son, and we say with grateful hearts, we love you, Jesus. Father, we are in love with your Son. We are in love with him, head over heels in love with him. So we take this communion and we remember. Amen. Let's drink. Thank you.
How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King.
Worship team sings. You've got a big piece of bread here. Where's Jess? Come back up here. You got your piece of bread. I know we're late, but it's okay. Okay, you've got a big piece of bread. This is a big piece of bread. That's an even bigger piece of bread. Okay, now there's some of you in here that are a little germophobic, like my daughter. So we're going to do this. He's the bread of life, is he not? And in him, he holds all things together by the word of his power. And we are in him, and he's in